Hi, everyone. This is This Week in North Shore Sports. I'm Bill Newell, along with Steve Krause, the sports editor of the Daily Item in Lynn. He'll be joining me in just a moment to talk North Shore sports. On our post, we have the details on the 24th annual Paul Duchesne Girls Basketball Jamboree. Will be this Saturday at Lynn Classical High School. It all starts at 2:30 and goes into the evening, and each team will play an eight-minute half, so to speak. So should be a great time. Always a good time to check in with those teams. You got Marblehead, Malden, Swampscott, Somerville, Saugus, Medford, Danvers, Hamilton, Wenham, Peabody, Reading, Revere, Bishop Fenwick, Lynn English, Georgetown, Lynn Classical, and Masconomet. And we also have word on something happening in February. It's the Larry McIntyre Board 130 Classic. That's the IBO Board 130. That's the group of officials that referee basketball here on the North Shore and beyond, IBO. And they have the girls division and a boys division tournament. It'll be held over at Beverly High School starting on Sunday, February 19. Teams involved on the girls' side, Bishop Fenwick, Masconomet, Newton South, and Beverly. And on the boys' side, Masco, Beverly, the Prep, and Bishop Fenwick. So it should be great, a great time. And the championship games and consolation games will be held on Monday, February 20th. Those games, pairings, and matchups are on our North Shore Today, or not on the North Shore Today post, but on the This Week in North Shore Sports. Finally, in North Shore Sports, Endicott College hosting some basketball action tonight, while the Salem News football dinner is tonight at the Danversport Yacht Club, and Thursday night, the Daily Item of Lynn will be hosting their All-Star Football Night at the Tedesco Country Club. We'll talk more about that with Steve Krause just ahead. This is This Week in North Shore Sports on MSONewsSports.com. Joining us now, Steve Krause, sports editor, Daily Item of Lynn. And Steve, I know you are gearing up for the item dinner, the football dinner, which is this coming Thursday night. So it's always a huge event. And this year, 27 All-Stars. Does that sound right?
That is correct, 27.
Well, we don't go over all of them. It's in the paper, and certainly invite people to check that out and so on. But tell us about that night itself. What happens that night?
Well, we honor the 27 kids we picked for the team, and it was obviously, it's always a real tough choice to narrow it down. Some people, you know, are disappointed if they get left off, but, you know, they were given all the consideration, and certainly we respect them and their abilities and what they did as much as we respect the people who are on the team. We also have five major awards we give out. Now, this year, for the second year, all of them are named after past people who have been associated either with the item or Lynn Sports in one way or the other. We have an item, a Gannis, offensive and a defensive player. Peter Gamage, Coach of the Year. Peter Gamage was the longtime publisher of our paper. Edward H. Cahill, Player of the Year. Gamage is Coach of the Year. Edward H. Cahill, Player of the Year, named after Eddie Cahill, who was the sports editor here for many, many years. And then William F. Connell, Student Athlete of the Year, who was not part of the item family per se, but he was well known around philanthropist, you know, mover and shaker. His daughter, Monica, is on our board of directors. So, and that's basically what we do.
Yep, I got it. And that's all Thursday night.
And Dick Giron is the guest speaker this year.
Nice. Great job. All right. And that's Thursday night at the Tedesco Country Club, 6 mm-hmm. o'clock. And Steve, maybe just a follow-up question on the Super Bowls from the weekend. Not a great North Shore showing, I guess, so to speak. But it speaks to the fact that when you get to that point, Super Bowl Saturday in MIAA play, you're probably facing a very solid opponent.
Yeah, I believe that the only North team to win was Everett. I think just about every team was either from the South. I know in our two cases, South teams won. I saw Falmouth. I have to say, Falmouth, that Falmouth-Marblehead game, Marblehead really didn't play that badly once they got going. Falmouth just was a very, very, very good team. I think Matt Durgan would probably like to be able to see what he could have done without turning the ball over six times against each Bridgewater. But, you know, you don't know. I mean, all you really hope for when you go into a game like that is you put your best foot forward and what happens, happens. But, you know, I would think that it's really maddening when you walk away from a game like that knowing that, you know, we really didn't put our best foot forward.
Exactly, and so uncharacteristic, I think, of what St. Mary's has done all this year. But you have a game such as the St. Mary's East Bridgewater game, statistically a pretty close game as far as passing yards, rushing yards, total yards, all of that. And actually the St. Mary's defense in that first quarter coming up with a couple of huge stops against East Bridgewater. But again, you look at the lopsided score and speaks to what you were saying.
Well, I think that the first only score of the first half was Bridgewater's. That came off of St. Mary's turnover. They had a couple of other touchdowns that also either directly or indirectly resulted from turnovers. It obviously would have been a much better, much different game if both teams had hung on to the ball. You know, Bridgewater turned the ball over four times.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I mean, when you think about that first half for St. Mary's, that they gave the ball to East Bridgewater, you'll call it statistically at the 1 yard line, but the ball was nosing the goal line and they don't give up a point. But then the only points they do give up in the first half, as you point out, is what the 60-yard fumble recovery and touchdown run by this kid that recovered four St. Mary's fumbles on Saturday.
I know. It was unbelievable. It really was. I mean, just, I just feel bad. And I feel bad for the kid who got hurt, Matt Cross. Yeah. That was a pretty bad injury. And I don't know how long he's going to be laid up or recuperated. I'm guessing he's not going to play basketball this winter.
Yeah, late leg injury. Break, I guess. But Steve, you led us right into winter sports. I know the item all last week was running previews on some of the winter teams, and I'm sure more still to come here. But this is their transition time, and it comes up very quickly with the Jamborees just beginning this weekend.
Jamboree Saturday. There's no Elmo Benedetto this year. The Duchesne Jamboree is Saturday for girls basketball. There's a big Jamboree. I don't exactly know when it is, but it's in Burlington. It's not really a jamboree. It's a glorified scrimmage. Some of the Lynn teams are involved with that. I think because of that, it probably has a lot to do with the fact why there's no Elmo, which is a shame. Yeah. But it's coming up. And, you know, particularly for teams that played last week, they've already missed a week, so the kids that played on both teams have already missed a week. It's I'm looking forward to it, though. I like the winter sports season.
Yeah, good. Well, Steve, anything else you want to touch base on? I know you're incredibly busy over here this week.
Always something to do. Job security.
There you go. Steve Krause with us, the sports editor of the Daily Item of Lynn, with us here on MSO News Sports.